This morning, we had a lesson on Christianity 101. And what Christianity 101 was all about was being committed to God and to His Son and to the church and to our own Christianity. And I had planned to do something different tonight, but Alan said to me this afternoon, he said, so we need to go on 201 and take the next step. And, you know, I got to thinking about that. Yeah, well, let's do that tonight. So let's continue what we started this morning, and let's go from Christianity 101 to Christianity 201. And what I thought would be a good thing for us to talk about this evening for Christianity 201 was the thought, do not disobey God. Now, I know that as Christians, we keep in the forefront of our mind throughout our lives to live an obedient life, as well as we should. You know, we find through the writings of the Apostle Paul that he buffeted himself daily so that he would live an obedient life. We find many examples throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament as well where people tried to live an obedient life. And as Christians, one of the things that we are to do is to live obedient life to God. But, you know, some people who think about obedience to God, we just think about not doing things that are wrong. And we think about the thou shalt nots, if you will, in our lives. The things that we should not do. And they have an understanding and that if we don't steal, if we don't cheat, if we don't commit adultery, or we don't do some major thing wrong, that we're okay with God, we're living good lives, and He's going to save us. Sadly enough, many Christians live by that concept. As long as I don't do anything bad, then I'm okay. Yet they fail to understand that there are many other ways to sin in life. It's not just the thou shalt nots. You know, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, there are a lot of thou shalt nots, isn't there? But you know, there are also some thou shalts. And as we go through the old law as it was given to the children of Israel, there were a lot of thou shalts involved in their Jewish law. If we go into the New Testament law that was given to us by Jesus through the writings of Peter and Paul and James and John, we find that there are a lot of thou shalts involved in Christianity, and not just a lot of thou shalt nots. So maybe we make a mistake when we concentrate on the thou shalt nots and forget that there are other ways to disobey God. So tonight, for Christianity 201, I want us to discuss the different ways that we can fall into sin. Because we need to know this. If we are going to be successful as a Christian, if we're going to avoid condemnation at the end of our lives, we need to know everything that is involved in living the Christian life and not just the thou shalt nots. So let's look at the different ways that sin can befall us. And the first one is the thou shalt not. We need to understand that the thou shalt not laws are very, very important. I think maybe the greatest example of the thou shalt not law is that of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the Garden of Eden by the Lord Himself, were given one commandment, and it was a thou shalt not command. Thou shalt not eat of the forbidden fruit. Now, you would think that if you could go through life and just have one thing that you could not do, that you could have an easy life, easy and free. But you know, there are a lot of people that if you tell them they can't do something, what are they going to do? They're going to try to do it. They are going to try to do it. You know, back in the days, and I don't know the Russian leader's name back in the 60s. Brezhnev, okay. He wanted to visit America. This was in the days of the Cold War. Khrushchev, okay. Well, I'm glad we have historians in here tonight. Because this thought just popped in my head. I wanted to tell the story, and I don't know well enough to tell it. He wanted to come to America. Now, Kennedy went to visit in Russia, and they kept him away from seeing certain things and going certain places. So when he come over here, Kennedy says, we have to have something that he cannot do. So one thing he always wanted to do to come to America was to go to Disneyland. So that was it. That is the one thing that he cannot do. He cannot go to Disneyland. And they would not let Khrushchev go to Disneyland. And that was the one thing that he wanted to do to come to America. And he was one of those kind of people. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And I'm afraid there's a lot of us in this room that if you tell us we can't do something, then we're going to do everything that we possibly can to do it. Now, I don't know that that's what was on Eve's mind in the Garden of Eden. I don't think she had given the fruit a thought until the devil came to her in the form of the serpent and put that thought into her mind. But for whatever reason, she knew that the Lord had commanded from Genesis 2:16 of every garden, tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. She understood that. And I really don't think she gave it very much thought until the devil put it into her mind. But for whatever reason, she did it. She did the one thing that she was told not to do. Now we call this the sin of commission. The sin of commission is actually committing a sin which God specifically prohibits. You are not to do this. You know, we tell our children, no, and that means you can't do this. And usually what happens when you tell a child no, the wheels and cogs begin to turn. I've got to figure out a way to get this done. I know I did when I was a child, and I know my two did when they were children. They probably still do it to me today, and I just don't pick up on it as quick. But we want to do what we want to do. Many people today act the very same way as Adam and Eve. They still practice that which is forbidden. Now, with Adam and Eve, it brought a curse from God. Adam was forced to till the ground, fighting weeds and thorns and thistles to bring up food for them to eat. Eve was to be in labor and pain while giving birth, and she was to be subject to Adam as her husband because of the sin that they committed in the Garden of Eden. And today mankind faces the same punishments from God because of committing this sin, of doing that which he has said, don't do. So we need to remember the thou shalt nots in our lives. Because when God says thou shalt not, that's exactly what he means. Thou shalt not. But as I have already said, that is not the only way to commit sin as children of God or as people in general. We can also refuse to do that which God has commanded us to do. One good example of this is the Pharisees. They were constantly rejecting the word of Jesus. For example, they rejected the counsel of God in respect to the baptism of John. In Luke chapter 7, we know that they determined or were told that the baptism of John had come from God. But we read in verse 29 that when all the people heard him, and even the tax collectors justified God having been baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. They refused to do that which they were told came from God. They were told, if you want to obey God, this is an act that must be taken. And they disobeyed God, because they failed to do what God had asked them to do. This is called the sin of omission. When you leave off something that God has asked you to do, or if you fail to complete that which God has asked you to do. And I would imagine that there will probably be more people lost from this type of sin than any other. Because how many times do we fail to do that which God has asked us? You know, James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, the non-Christian disobeys God when he refuses to obey the gospel of Christ. He refuses to develop a faith. He refuses to hear the word of God, which allows him to develop the faith. He refuses to allow it to lead him to repentance, even though Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He refuses to accept Jesus as the Son of God, even though Paul said in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes with righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. He refuses to submit to baptism for the forgiveness of sins, even as Paul himself, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was asked by Ananias in Acts 16:22, and now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. People refuse to do that. And because of this refusal, they never come in contact with the blood of Jesus. They never have their sins washed away. They are not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they stand before God resulting lost. The Christian disobeys God when he fails to do the good works that he was created to do. We were created for good works. Paul tells us this in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So you see, as children of God, there are things that we are to do. Yes, there are some things that we can't do. The thou shalt nots are still there, and we still must pay attention to them. But now we also need to pay attention to the thou shalts. Things that God has asked of us. I guess maybe the greatest example of this is what we read in Matthew chapter 25. When Jesus lets us see judgment day, and part of the judgment that goes for us or against us will be how we have treated, how we have dealt with, and what we have done for our fellow man. So there are a lot of thou shalts involved in our Christianity. Another thing that we need to understand from Christianity 201, that we are not to add to this word that God has given to us. The Bible states that if anyone adds to God's word, plagues will be added to them. Now, this thought goes all the way back to the Israelites and God's commandment to them from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 2. Moses tells the children of Israel, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now this command is repeated again in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18. John writes, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. All sin, according to John, is lawlessness. Therefore, adding to the word that God has given to us is also lawlessness as well. Sin is doing anything that is not authorized by God for us to do. Whether it is an act, whether it is a word, if it is the sin of presumption. When we change that which God has given to us. Listen to this, the law regarding presumption in Numbers chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Now what he's talking about here is someone who has acted without divine authority. He has presumed that he knows God's will. He has presumed that he is thinking the same way that God is thinking, and therefore he changes his life accordingly. And he is acting upon something, and he's casting aside the will of God. This type of action, my friend, will not be tolerated by God. And we've already read the two verses that tell us that. Now, the other thing we need to talk about is the opposite side of this coin. The sin of taking from the Word of God. Now, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, he said it both ways. You shall not add to the Word which I commanded you, and you shall not take from it. Basically, what the law in Deuteronomy is saying is leave it alone. And let's go back over to Revelation again, Revelation 22, verse 19, where it says, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You know, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? But what John is telling here in Revelation 22 goes hand in hand with what Moses wrote hundreds of years earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He is letting us know God means for his word to be left alone. Now, you know as well as I do that mankind in general has not left God's word alone. We know that man has taken commandments out of the word of God. They have added commandments to the word of God. They have changed it up so much. Some religions have changed the Bible so much that it doesn't even read like the Bible anymore. But yet God has said, I want you to leave it alone. If you add to it, I'm going to add to your misery. If you take from it, I'm going to take you out of the book of life. The final thing I want to talk about is that we can also substitute that which God has commanded. Now, we got a couple of examples in the Bible about that. And we can go all the way back to the beginning, the first family, and that of Cain and Abel. Cain substituted a sacrifice that was different from what God had commanded. How do we know that? Well, we know that he did not accept Cain's sacrifice. He accepted Abel's sacrifice. We really don't know what those sacrifices were. We know that Abel's was a meat sacrifice and that Cain's was a vegetable or a fruit sacrifice. We don't know if God had laid down that law, it must be a meat sacrifice. The Bible doesn't tell us that. What the Bible does tell us, though, is that Cain did it the wrong way. He made a change. He made a substitution. He did something different that God did not accept. And he did not accept or respect the offering of Cain. We have another example in Leviticus chapter 10, that of Nadab and Abihu. God had commanded that a certain fire be used, or fire from a certain place be used, to fire up the altars in the temple. Nadab and Abihu, which were priests of God at that time, I don't know if they were in a hurry, if they were trying to do it fast. I don't know if their authority had gone to their head and they wanted to do things their way. I don't know what was going through their mind. But for whatever reason, they got fire from a different place, a place that was different from what God had said. And they used strange fire. And as a result, God struck them dead with his own fire from heaven. We don't substitute for what God has commanded. I think maybe the greatest example of this is that of Moses. When he brought the children of Israel before the rock to give them water because they were thirsty. And instead of speaking to the rock as the Lord had commanded him to do, he struck the rock. And because the people were thirsty, God allowed them to drink. But he punished Moses for this terrible mistake. And because of one, what you might think, some seemingly insignificant little thing, Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land because he struck a rock instead of speaking to it. This goes all the way back to what I said earlier in the last two points. God means for his word to be left alone. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And don't substitute for it. See, there are different ways that we can sin. It's not just thou shalt not, which we must look out for the thou shalt nots and avoid doing that which God forbids. But by the same token, we must always do what God has commanded us to do and not fail in our efforts to do His will. And never take anything from Him. And never add anything to Him. And never substitute something else or someone else for God. You know, it was the first thing that God said in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Don't substitute Me from anyone else. And we know what happened to the majority of the children of Israel when they did exactly that, when Aaron formed the golden calf. And what happened to the children of Israel on that day because they substituted that calf for God. Our obedience to God is what will save us. But it's going to take complete obedience to God in order for us to have that salvation. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, it is obedience to God's Word that will save you, and it can save you now. But you must follow the commands that is given to you to comply, to have the salvation. It takes a faith that you have in your God. It takes a change in your life, a repentance of your former life. It takes confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And it takes being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Not just a symbol, not just a token. To let everyone know that God has washed your sins away. And Christian, it also tells us that we have to practice the thou shalt nots and the thou shalts and the leaving God's Word alone. If there is something in your life that you have not done as a Christian should, or if there's something in your life that you have done that a Christian should not, you can make that right tonight, and you can leave here with that salvation. Remember, Christianity 201, do not disobey God. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.